So one of the Lamatas Malachas, one of the Yisurim on Shabbos is Bishol, is a Ofer, that cooking, so basically normally cooking is basically done. Usually there's an open flame or some type of an electric, you know, filament, whatever it might be. So that's clear. You take something uncooked and you make it cooked, so you could violate Bishol Daraisa. So that's what, so we're not going to be discussing Bishol Daraisa. The Shaila is, let's say, where would it come up? Let's say someone wants to use a sous vide, you put the food in like a cholent. Like you put the food in Erev Shabbos. Like if you want, I guess the 24 hour, you could do a 48, 72, you could even put it Thursday, I guess, depending how long does sous vide go for, as long as...
It depends on the...
You could do, yeah, so it's a slow cooker. So the Shaila is, how much, if anything, does it have to be cooked before you can put the sous vide in right before Shabbos? Is there a set time I can't? So, the first thing that comes down is the Machlokes Hananya and the Chachamim and the Rabbanan and how cooked does the food have to be to leave it on the open flame. So, Hananya says it just needs Machol Ben Drusai, either a half or a third cook. And what's Drusai? He was a criminal, he was a thief, and he was always on the run. So, therefore, he didn't have time to cook a whole meal. So The edible, whatever was edible, he ate it. So to machok is a half or a third. So two thirds, yeah. So they point out that that's Hananya. And the Rabbanan disagree and say Yidin Babashio called Tzurk has to be fully cooked. Within the Chachamim, there's a discussion. Does it have to be mitstamik viralo? In other words, certain times it could be cooked. And no matter more you cook it, the better it gets. And other times, by cooking it makes it worse. So that's a discussion, how far the Chachamim go by when it says you need kol tzorcho, or maybe even mitzdam and gorello. So that's a major machokas in the Gemara, Hananya versus the Rabbanan. So it's a major machokas aposkin, how we paskin, which is a major shah, is a very halachah ma'isa. The Ramah seems to be mako, that even machol, as long as it's cooked machol ben drusai, there's no problem of shehiya. And that seems to be actually the view of the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish, he bedafka passes like Hananya. The Mishnah Berurah, the Be'er Halacha, other postim a machmir like the Rabbanan.
Third of the way cooked is fine.
No, that's not. If you mako,
Hananya says
that
it's
mutter. Yeah, it's mutter.
So the Chazon Ish would hold like Hananya.
Yeah, right. The Hananya I'm saying is that as long as it's machol ben drusai before Shabbos, you could leave it even. You could leave
Shabbos.
It on the yeah. You leave it before
it's
Shabbos.
Edible, according to him.
No, exactly. So you could leave it. You're cooking something on the hot flame on Friday afternoon. As long as it's machol ben drusai, you could leave it on. And according to the Rabbanan, no. So the Mishnah Berurah, the postim, seem to go machmir, mitstamik viralo, and Bishul, they learn in Wachumra that if the food is getting to such one, that's a machokas. It's known as the Chazon Ish Mishnah Berurah, but it's many other people. The Ramah seems to be makos. That's one major machokas. If you go with Hananya, that means whatever we're talking about, the cholent, the sous vide, as long as it's machol ben drusai or more, it's not a problem. So it could be if it's not machol ben drusai, or according to the Rabbanan, or the way the Mishnah, or according to the post of passing like the Rabbanan, if it's machol ben drusai, but it's not bishul kol tzorcho, so what do you do then? So I'm stuck, so I can't eat this food anymore. So therefore they say, no, there's something called gara fakatam, that there's a... That if something is, you cover it up, so therefore it's not a problem. In other words, you cover up, pashas, you cover up the flame, or you cover up the, that's a whole major machlok of Hizban. I said, what do you cover up? So Ramosha goes with the classic explanation, you cover up the fire. That's why, you know, you put a blech on top of let's say you put on top of the stove, and, the classic blech, this covers the fire. And others say, no, Rav Aaron Kotler says, no, today the ikkar is the knobs, because that's, wait a minute, who cares if I'm not touching the flames, I'm touching the things that create it. So it's a machokas haposkim, whether you have to cover the knobs or cover the flames, maybe cover both. I think I remember Rav Abadi says something about maybe he doesn't think the whole halacha doesn't even apply. He thinks maybe Rizban Chazal, that what was the concern, that it was already there, the coals, and you're gonna stoke the coals. So that was the. But today it's not comparable. If we're gonna turn the knobs, we're turning something new. So he wasn't even sure if that whole comparison to how his stoves even works. But either way, but you have a machlokas Rav Moshe, Rav Aaron Kolo, whether you cover the knobs or you cover the fire. So that'll be another issue. So but in terms of sous vide, so if you go with, so it depends where if it's cooked. So if it's not cooked, if it's cooked over machlo ben drusai, so if you want to go with the chaz and ish ben chanan, you have that. And let's say it's either if you machbid, you follow the other shita. So then, what do you do? Or let's say it's not machlo ben drusai. So then it comes. So then we have to do cover up. So on a sous vide, I don't think you could cover up the actual thing. Isn't it like inside the water? Like it won't work. I'm guessing. I don't know. I'm asking.
Cover up what?
Cover up the
button forever.
Yeah.
Well, like
no, not the button. Cover up the actual thing inside where it's heating.
Oh yeah.
You can't do that. That's what I'm saying. No. So according to Rav Moshe, that'd be a problem because you can't cover that up. According to Aaron Cutler, you cover whatever it is. I don't know if it's knobs or automatic. Yeah. So you have a machokis, a poskim, mishnur has an ish whether it's depending if it's vesta macho ben drosai, everyone agrees. But if it's between, however, there's another concept called kedera chaisa, like by chulin, raw meat. So they say kedera chaisa, like raw live, a piece of raw meat. So you could put it on right before Shabbos. Why? Because there's no concern that the meat's gonna cook. In other words, you can do anything you want to the knobs, it's not going to get cooked. Because you're in a slow cooker, and it's going to take hours and hours. The concern of Yishama, you're going to touch the coals and make it hotter, so the food, you want to eat the food right now. But something is so far fresh, it's not going to be ready for a long time. So then, that's mutter. You're allowed to put something in raw meat right before Shabbos, because there's no concern that you're going to stoke the coals, because it's not going to help.
So there's a third sheet there, right?
Yeah, it's independent. It's just,
meaning like that there's the Ravana, and then this
is independent. This could be according to the Chachamim, or this is according to both.
Because
if you're throwing in cooked meat, this is, if the meat is partially cooked,
if it's old,
there's a concern that you're going to soak the
cook. The machlokes is between macho
ben, if it's totally raw,
the
no
machlokes is when it's macho ben drosai, but not mavasho called tzorko. Before macho ben drosai, it's better.
Better than in between.
No, according
better
to
that raw meat being put
yeah,
in.
Well, yeah, yeah, but the three things, yeah. According to everyone, if it's not raw, but it's
cooked.
Less than macho ben drosai, it's a problem.
Right.
If it's macho ben drosai, then you have the machokes chananya, so I'm saying, so someone has suggested kedei rechaisa, maybe in a slow cooker, it's not a problem. It's not raw meat, but doesn't make. But in this type of thing, if it's going to take a long time to cook, so there's no. If you, let's say, especially in a sous vide, don't you have like a target, like 12 hours, 30, you know, you.
An
I'm just
hour,
saying.
An hour, you, half, right?
No, but you plan before how much.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just saying. So therefore, someone has say another potential had to be kedei rechaisa, that it's in a slow cooker, so we're not concerned about gzeira shemechata, because therefore.
Yeah, it stays at the same steady temperature the whole time.
No, right. So therefore, if you can, so according, let's say, so according to, let's say, Rav Moshe's view that you can't put a blech on it, so then you could have the head to kedei rechaisa should work without a blech. I'm saying, according to Rav Aaron Kotler, you don't need to come on, you just cover up the knobs, and in theory it should work. But I'm saying, according to those shitas at home, that what you have to cover up is the flame, and a sous vide you can't. So and then I guess the same thing. I guess by a cholent pot it's different, because you could put foil because a cholent pot you could put foil underneath. By a sous vide you can't.
Right.
So therefore, yeah. So you basically either have kedei rechaisa to work with, you have chanan yeshita, and you have, if you go with Rav Aaron Kotler about covering, to then. That would be the mahalach to say that you could cook to sous vide before.
Even theoretically, like if you start like any like a piece of meat, like, but depending on the size of it, but let's say you start an hour or two before Shabbos, even if I have it cooking for 12 hours, at 2 hours it's still edible. It's just not going to be like what
you want.
It's not going to be the texture.
But if it's edible, it's macho bedusa.
No, it's fully cooked.
It's cooked. Oh, it's fully cooked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So that, no, so,
chicken soup.
No, that, so that gets into the some postim go l'chumra that they say bisho called sarko, but nitzdamik v'ralo. So they would say that would be a problem because.
For it's you, good.
And saying that, according to them, it would be a, right. Again. So I'm saying within the rabbanan, depending how you learn them,
right.
Then it could be a problem because the more you're cooking, the better it's becoming.
But that's
that would that would be part of how you learn the shittas right. of the rabbanan.
But is that independent because it's for somebody who's like a chef or somebody who's somebody who appreciates certain types of food more than others? It would be. For them, it would be more of a problem. Like, it would be also for them as opposed to a person who...
Yes, that gets into a general shaila, is that, you go by Rov and Adam or the individual, but I'm saying, but he's just saying, you're just saying objectively, you're saying everyone would agree the meat's going to taste better after 10 than 2.
Yeah.
You just happen to know, as opposed to, right, let's say I like raw, let's say...
You look at, medium rare.
Yeah, exactly.
And you like it well done.
No, but meaning...
It's how it happens. I like it well, then he likes it
medium. Yeah. The soup is, let's say 12 hours, it's still going to be medium rare. But the difference is going to be the texture, in the sense that if I pull it out at
12
hours, it will still be chewy. While if I pull it out at 12 hours, it's going to be
So what's the difference if you do it how many and then what?
The longer you cook the less chewy it gets.
Oh, so again, it's more tender.
Yeah, the more tender.
Okay, yeah. Right, I like the barbecue taste.
But it's still going to have the same. It's still going to be the same medium rare, no matter what time you pull it out.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like the way I do my wings. Because first I cook them, and then I just barbecue them for the taste. Yeah, and that's the big difference. That's probably the best wings in North America.
Cause
it's I guess the equivalent of the sous vide. Pierre, what do you call that stuff? And
that has the question.
Yeah. Yeah, we're talking about sous vides. Yeah, so in terms of using it for Shabbos. So in order to be lenient on it, the issue is number one is a machlokes Chananya and the Rabbanan, whether let's say you're allowed to cook food on that Friday. You put it on the stovetop, on the fire. So the question is, could you just leave it there on Shabbos, and then when it's ready, Chananya says as long as the food's machal ben drusai, half or two thirds cooked, then yes, and the Rabbanan says no, it has to be fully cooked. So the question is, so same thing with the cholin, you're cooking anything you're cooking Friday, let's say the cholin or anything, So the cholin turns into meat. So if the cholin's more than macho ben drusai, so according to Chananya, it's not a problem. Everyone makes cholin anyway. So therefore, I guess it's not mitzdamik v'ralo. When does the average person make the cholin? Right before Shabbos, they make it Friday morning. Put it up. So therefore, you put it up before Shabbos. You have another heter. It's kedei rechaisa. If it's raw, the concern is you're going to stoke the coals. So therefore, but that's only because I want it. Instead, I can't wait an hour. I want it done in 20 minutes. So here, it's going to take. It's not going to help. So therefore, they say there's no concern. Some say, what do you mean? It's not raw, so you can't make it be your own kedei rechaisa. And others say, no, it's the equivalent of a kedei rechaisa. So according to Chananya, you could put up the as long as it's machlo ben drosai, you could leave it on. And for sure, if you put it on before, it's raw. So therefore, in terms of this, so according to the Chachamim, would be a problem because they hold it has to be bishul called sarko, and also according to some, and not only that, but the more you cook it, it's going to get worse. In this case, with the sous vide, it's going to get better.
Depending on the cooking.
Yeah, right. Depending on what you want, yeah. And then the issue is, what do you do then? So you have to cover up the fire. So Rav Moshe says you cover up the actual flame. Rav Aaron Kohler says you cover the knobs. So therefore, in a sous vide, you can't cover up the flame. So it'll be a problem. According to those shita, you'd have a problem then if you're going, according to anyone, if you're going, before Chananya, so before Machlo Ben Drusa, you'd have a problem, or according to the Chacham, so therefore the covering up the knobs on the suvi, that's doable. So if you go with Chananya, if you go with the Kedei Rechaisa, if you go with covering the knobs, then there's what to talk about in terms of that. There's another issue of there's an issue of Hadmana. Like you can't insulate something.
It's mechaber machlokes as to whether or not.
Yeah, so there's different to Hadmana. So like Rav Wulig always used to say, you know, like people would. Let's say urn. Some people used to have this tight that you put over and you keep it warm, and they had it says look covered Shabbos Kodesh. He said they should write look covered Chilul Shabbos Kodesh, because that's exactly what Hadmana is. So the conditions of Hadmana is it has to be totally enclosed. Rosh Hashanah Zalman discusses even like a cholent pot even with the top open, but pashtus you have to cover the whole thing. And then he says, well, it still has to be in a kli rishon, so it is. And you have to have kavana lahost. Your kavana is to heat. The reason why you're putting it on is not to protect the food, or you're not covering it so bugs don't get in. You're covering it up because you're doing it to be most of hevel, or at least to retain hevel. And then so on the last point is a major machlokes that post came about whether can if something which is surrounded by water, is that hamana or not? Why it's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Mem, I believe. It's a case where they take like a some kind of pot of oil and you put it inside another pot of water. So the Gemara says it's mutter. So why is it mutter? So some poskim, I think the Mishnah Brura, they say it's mutter because the Gemara's case it's half out. It's not fully in the water. But if it's fully in the water, it'd be usher. And the Chazon Ish says no, that can't be pshat in the Gemara because the Chazon Ish is machmir. He says even if it's not fully enclosed, it's hatmana. So therefore, that can't be the pshat in the Gemara. So his chumra leads to a kula. He obviously the Gemara is saying that there is no hatmana in hot water. So therefore, again, so we have another Chazon Ish. So if you work with the Chazon Ish, that there's no hatmana by water, so then suvi wouldn't be a problem. So there wouldn't be any hatmana. So again, it comes down. Basically, comes out if you go. There's actually two machlokas a poskim, Mishnah, but other poskim and the Chazon Ish. Number one on the issue of Chananya, but you know Chananya does only apply sometimes. Hadmana is a bigger kula because you're always gonna you're never gonna have Hadmana according to the Chazon Ish because you can't have Hadmana in water. So, but according to the Mishnah, that'd be a problem. So the issues I thought were like Shehiya is like. It either has to be fully cooked you have to rely on Rav Aaron Kol and knobs versus the fire. So therefore depending on the case, unless you go with Kedei Rechaisa, which not everyone agrees to, it's not Ruah, so you're going to lose people on the Kedei Rechaisa, you're going to lose people on the Machlokes HaPosim Chananya versus the Chachamim. You're going to lose some people on the Machlokes Rav Aaron and Rav Moshe, assuming they take the side of the other side. And then Hadmana, if you don't learn the Gemara like the Chazon Ish, then you're going to have a problem with Hadmana.
Is Hadmana a problem if I set it up before Shabbos?
In terms, but that isn't how you do, but if, isn't that when they set up the urns? Isn't like when young people do.
Because
I think that's when you usually do. I don't think right. You could do.
Right, that's what I'm asking. Is it considered like is Hamana? Like that's what I'm asking. Is it a problem? Let's say if I insulate the pot before Shabbos, if I set.
Yeah, it sounds from. Yeah, I have to. Yeah. It sounds like it even applies even before Shabbos. Right. I mean, right. we certainly, I guess on Shabbos for sure. You know,
right.
Putting because most people. Using Rai Wulig's example, most people put that on before Shabbos.
Right,
So I'm just saying, so I guess by definition, most Hamana is happening. For sure, it'd be us or on Shabbos, but you can't do it before.
Right.
So there's another, which not as related to Suvi or not, but then you have something else, it's called Hakzara. A lot of people call it Chazara, but Rav Shachtu likes to say, no, it's Hakzara, from the word Hagzir, returning food onto the... So that's something else. So up to now, we're talking about leaving the food on before Shabbos. That's a Shehi issue. What about if you want to take the food off the fire? So that's what they talk. So what's the problem of the problem? It's not taking it off. Is about putting it back on. You can take it off the fire, but you can't put it back on the fire. Why can't you put it back on the fire? Because again, I'm assuming every. So if it's liquids, you have a problem of you'll be over bishul d'oraisa. If it's solids, which are uncooked, you're cooking, that's an issur d'oraisa. So hagzara won't even help you. Anytime we're talking about hagzara, it's an issur d'rabbanan. So basically, we're talking about solid food, which is fully mivasho called a dry food. Yeah, so that's what we're talking about. So why do we need it? Because, so what, how does it help then? So you cover up gara for katum, the Gemara talks about. You cover up with a blech or you cover up with something. Because the problem is, you know, it's mixing of mavashel. So by putting it, see, something's fully cooked, so I'm not cooking. But since it midrabana and it looks like cooking, said Rabbi, that's one of the reasons we'll see why you can't put food back into an oven. Because, we'll see, because it's mixing of mavashel. But so they point out, that's the, you know, so there are different conditions for Hagzara. That you have to hold on to it. It has to be daito lahagzir. You have to have kavana to bring it, to have it back. It has to be you know, the salad, etc. Mavasho called tzorcho. So that only helps us. Let's say Friday night, basically, like I'm to hold the thing all day. Like, you know, I'm not going to sleep that night. So that's good hagzara if you want to put it. You take off something, you have the blech, and you put it on. Okay, so that's more feasible. What about Shabbos lunch? In fact, that's what the post can bring down. You should dafka try to have something hot Shabbos lunch, because those people might think you're a tzaduki, because they, you know, like you live, you can't cook, you live in the dark, etc. So that's the meaning of cholent, or you know, or some form of cholent to have something hot on Shabbos. But besides the onik Shabbos part, so they point out. So what do you do? So let's say you want, what do people do? They take the food, they put it in the fridge. So obviously if you left it on the, I don't even know, is it even safe, bacteria, leaving stuff on the blech? I guess it depends how hot it would be.
Yeah, it would depend.
Like over what temperature, but practically I don't think most people leave their food on the blech overnight. So what do? You have your cold chicken in the fridge. So how are you gonna warm it up? So the different eitzes. Because you can't put it on a flame that's an issur d'rabbanan, even though it's fully cooked. So let's say, So one thing is to have kedera agave kedera. They bring down that you have a pot on top of another pot,
and a cooking sheet on top of the pot.
Yeah, yeah. And then you put it on top. So so they point out. So that's one of the heterim. The prima gadin has a chumra that the bottom pot has food in it. It can't just be where you turn over an empty pot and double it. But
water counts though, right?
You know, if you had something in the pot or some, you mean, but how, what do you mean water in the pot? The water is already on there.
As opposed to having food in the actual pot. So let's say you're using your chillin pot.
But how you're cooking, right. What do you mean? The water
you
must
put
be
water
already.
Instead of chillin inside, that you just have water.
Oh, it's ready there. The water is on before, you mean? Okay, right. Okay, yeah. It's on, yeah, anything that's on the blech already, yeah. I'm saying is, but usually you can't put, you can't
have an empty pot.
You put water from your hot water urn into a pot?
Yeah, so that's a discussion of what happens when you need hot water for your cholent. Your cholent's drying out. So that's so everyone agrees the best way, it might not be feasible, and it's never everybody, but the best way is if you could actually, I don't know, it depends what it is, if it's a crop, is to actually put the thing near the urn and go directly in. But I don't, so if you could do that.
There's a problem with Zaya, though.
No,
spraying back.
Yeah, okay, but forget about. You know, I'm just saying this in terms of the bishul problem. So others say then, if you can't do that, then you could put it for the urn and then you pour it in. Some want to claim that's a problem then, because it's already a cliche. You know, then it's a major, that seems to be the minigol when people do it. Yeah, whatever I'm saying, because it's already like a cliche and now you're cooking it. So therefore, that's a discussion among the posts. What are the best ways of doing it? That's what I'm saying is, but. If it's already hot, I think they talk about also, I think it's Ashkenaz fire, but at least the water has to be, I think if it's Ashkenaz, it has to be warm, but for Svardi, it has to be hotter to do it. That's the Svardim, Amakbe. We'll get to a kula for Svardim right now in a minute, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Badi. What?
Is the bigger worry that the
are they transferring?
No, the issue is, yeah.
In the
issue is you're cooking the hot water because that's already it's already cooked. And you and people say with cholent it's always cooking because some say the bones don't get fully cooked. But yeah, the issue is the water. That's the question. What's the status if it's going from the urn on there? That's why I say everyone agrees the best thing is if you could bring it over, which most times you can. If it's a crock pot,
even
you can't.
Even if you could bring it over, the hot water urn is not. Yeah. It never reaches like a temperature of boiling. It's like at 160 while your crock pot's like still bubbling.
I know, but still, but if it's yeah, but 160 like, could be yeah, so let it, but what's the depends on what temperature you.
Right.
Use.
I mean, yeah. Yes, is like 115 now. Yeah?
So, yeah. So 160 is.
Yeah. So like, what difference does it make if you pour?
Oh, you want to say no? You're saying it's you want to say it's hot enough even out of the urn.
115.
It's not very hot.
It's like 40
degrees.
Oh, okay. You're saying it. Well, you're saying it's still yad so let it. Yeah, that's what. Right. No, that seems to be the minute we do it. But I'm saying those who say it's a concern, right. Saying it's cooled down. But I'm saying you're saying levaisa. You're saying you don't think it. You think it actually is yad so let it spo anyway. So you're not right. You're not really cooking anymore. Right. That's a separate. Okay, if it's yad so let it spo, could it be cooked anymore? And yeah, there's a different. There's one about burning your stomach of the baby. Yeah. So either way. So kedera gabi kedera works. According to the prima gada, you have to have food on bottom. According to others, no. The other issue is what about a hot plate? Could I take cold chicken out of the fridge and put it on the hot plate? So Rav Mordechai Willig says yes. That's his shita. Many disagree. He says you could take it out of the. He says why? Because he holds the hot plate. It's not mixed in kumavasha. No one cooks on the hot plate. There'll be others. So I think he said or heard others say that could be a machlokes Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz La'aretz. In Eretz Yisrael, with the poskim amor machmer, could be they cook on hot plates. That's what I'm not sure if I will himself said it. I heard it. Or I saw it somewhere. That's the chiluk between. No one cooks with hot plates here. I wouldn't say no one. I think Alan one time put like a thing on. He had this long thing. He was cooking. I remember because Ilan was telling me guys that he saw. I think Alan was telling me he cooked something on a hot plate. But I said it doesn't go by one person. And as not to call him like the Rav said. Somebody asked him about somebody asked him about the toothpaste. He says it's not roilach. He was kelev. He says my dog eats it. We don't deal with meshuganas. We're talking about the normal person doesn't the normal dog doesn't.
My shir Rebbe Akedi Y told us that exact story one day in Talmud shir.
Yeah, it's a famous one from the Rav. Yeah.
It's meatball tomato sauce Shabbos.
Right, that the issue is right. I guess it depends on, how much sauce is, you know, as Mike says, his meatball you can't use because his has a lot of sauce in it. But, right, pasta sauce would be a problem, I'm saying, because.
Because it's a lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, unless, I guess you want to say if it depends, if, you know, it oozes out, there's a little bit, but, you know, that would, you know, unless there are other ways, I don't know how they're warming it up in the shul.
Is it possible to cook on a hot plate? Do they get a hot enough?
Yeah, so it's a, yeah, so.
The Israeli ones do.
Yeah, so.
Right. Like the only time I've ever seen a hot plate hot enough to actually cook something is like in a chemistry lab.
But that's where it works, says you can't cook and that's it. Others disagree. They want to say, why do disagree? Because they claim you can cook. In other words, if you left a piece of chicken on for a couple, let's say 10 hours, the chicken would get hot or cooked. I mean, you know, we don't. Rav Shechter says that by definition, if it can become yad so let it spoil, that's by definition. You can't say it's not. It is by definition Mexican mavasho, even if people don't. So, and also Rav Abadi has Rav Abadi, Rav David Feinstein don't go for hot plates. Rav Abadi has another chumrah. That he says, and it doesn't even if chicken couldn't, but if water would cook on the hot plate, then it's considered deaf anything. So it doesn't have to be just the food you're cooking. So therefore they're against. Okay, so let's say so we have kedera gabi kedera, we have Rabbi Willig for the hot plates. Then we have, what is Rav Avadi, Rav David Feinstein, what would they do then? Assuming they didn't do kedera. So then there's the other thing is what about a blech? So, before the black, so therefore what they suggest is you turn over you turn over a tin, an inverted tin on the hot plate, and then you put the food on. So that's like kadeira akabe kadeira.
Right.
So that would be the same heter. What about according to the prima gadin? So then the argument would be is, no, one of the din, one, it's only a problem of hagzara if it's going to reach out to letitzbo. If it can't reach out to letitzbo, it's mutter, not because of that, it's mutter because it won't, so that's what they say. So
we don't need to worry about the prima gadin.
Right, no, I'm saying, you know, well, right, you don't have, if you want to be machmi, you could be right, but make or din, you don't have to. So what he's, I'll tell you what Rav Avadi does, or at least he says to do, according to Rabbi Simon, that he says, he goes, you know, there's a whole discussion about Shabbos clocks, timers. So Rav Moshe was against them, but he went for it for rights. He was against it because it's a whole issue of Beisil Beishamai setting up something before Shabbos to go on. So, you know, so we pass like Beisil that it's okay. So therefore, but he says, but that's only on something that's really L'Kavod Shabbos. So he says you could go to set up your machines to work. You set up your website, and you don't have to. That would be totally against what the Shabbos. So therefore, he was against it. But reluctantly, he gave in for Shabbos lights because it's. So others say, okay, so Rav Avadi, others say, same thing for food, timing on the food. I'm doing it.
You said Kavod Shabbos was the reason why you wouldn't be matter?
Yeah, by rights, because why are you doing it with Oneg Shabbos, Kavod Shabbos? Because I suppose the other things, like his concern was, you could have it with the Decholda, and you could set up, if he was concerned, if you could do everything, then okay.
You hot know, bread, hot coffee.
Especially with AI today and all that. And, you know, Moshe's talking about this like 50 years ago, and he's already machav into what's going to be. You know, that's the difference with Gedolim. There could be Roes HaNolad more than no people don't know what they're talking about. Then you see the God who is 50 years later. See, Moshe, we saw with God, even, as I like to say, even the Goyim recognized that God was. What do I mean? I think it was Moshe Tenu who spoke. 1986 at the Levaya, Rav Nissen Alpert spoke. So one of the things he said was how broad Rav Moshe's reach was. He even reached the Goyim. So he gave one with the Siamese twins that he had a psak that one of the kid doctors quoted Rav Moshe saying following. But then there's another one I always like telling this to my ministers. He says, so I always asked him. I said, are you allowed to use grape juice for communion? What do you call it, communion? So he says, yeah. I said, do you know why? He says, no. I said, because, I think, I don't know if it was the Pope or someone, they quoted, there's this great rabbi in New York City who came along and said you could use grape juice for kiddush. Up until then, that was a big Orthodox conservative divide. Conservatives said you could use grape juice. Orthodox rabbi said, no, you couldn't use grape juice for kiddush. It wasn't until, you know, you had some, that was the accepted view. And also the Rosh HaKaram, they used to call him Louis something for the JTS. What?
Louis Ginsburg?
Yeah, it was a Louis Ginsburg, yeah. One of them, see what happened when he was most there, because basically the issue was, why did it come up? At that point you could only have alcohol for religious purposes. Else it was us there. So Orthodox claimed we needed wine for Kiddush, and Louis, I'm not sure who it was, said, no, it's not true, you could be yotze with grape juice. So they were all upset at him. So it wasn't until Rav Moshe came along, and that's when he passed, and it was mutter, so it became accepted, and everyone uses, I wouldn't say everyone, not if you follow the Rambam, but you can't.
Who else says it's us besides the Rambam?
The Rambam says,
Rambam says
on the other, you can't use Yayim Mavushal.
He also says you can't use grape juice.
Yeah, well, but if you can't use Yayim Mavushal, you can't use, because he said you have to use wine, they could use agave on Mizbeah.
Yeah.
So I'm saying if you don't hold like the Rambam, what reason would you say use grape juice?
Okay, grape juice for different reasons. Number one, you might need an alcoholic beverage. Maybe it's a shahakal, not a boer. It might not be considered wine. That's a lot of discussion on why it can't be. So therefore, he quoted, so Rav Moshe influenced the Goyim as well. So either way, so getting back, so what was it, how did I get to Rav? He was against, he didn't want it to get out of hand. So Rav Avadi holds you could use timers. So he says what you should do is, is, again, or the, at least this is what Rabbi Simon does. I think he said this is what Rabbi told him to do. Since it's a discussion, the hot plates of machok is directly on the hot plate. You have the prima gadin, it's only a tin, and the chazanish maybe was ma. So he, what he does is, so he, which is, he you set up the, because I'm making up the time to go on, your hot plate goes on at 11 a.m. So at 10:30, you 10:40, 10:59, I don't care, you do it before it goes on, and then it's okay. The Chazon Ish is against it because he holds you can't do things even on, you know, on Shabbos, that, you know, he says, even if you're not actually doing it, he's against putting it on. The Rabbi holds as long as you put the food on before it goes on, it's not an issue of Hagzara or not, because it's nothing. Like,
so then,
that was the discussion, right, that's what we discussed. You asked me that, yeah. Not this one, but you asked me something right. similar.
Yeah, but then,
I forgot what you asked me, it was then, something similar.
So then what about like, if it's liquid, then would, like, if it's nothing, then...
Yeah, right, so I'm saying how far do you go with that, you mean?
Right.
Yeah, so, but could, no, but could be, it, no, but liquid, it, yeah, but liquid, you might, right, liquid, you might not, because then you might be dealing with the rices, and if you're actually going to end up cooking, I'm saying I have to check how, you know, because liquid's different because you're actually cooking the liquid, that's already a derisa, and therefore Hagzara has nothing to do with that. Hagzara only helps you on a Darabanan.
Well, let's say with a soup that was already pre-cooked.
Yeah. Okay. So then that's the Avnei Nezer.
Right,
so
yeah.
No, the Avnei Nezer, which most don't accept. I like the svara. Right. The Avnei Nezer, right? It's only water, but soup. Well, you already, it's already cooked, so it's already changed. And but I don't think that's the normative sock. Mm-hmm. But there is. I said, you know, b'shas adchak, we have the igle tal Avnei Nezer on it. Yeah.
The same situation with coffee, also the percolated coffee.
No, but that's, I guess that's the chat, so you could set the timer before. Because you're not doing anything.
That's also liquid, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But that's the whole thing.
And it's clear.
Can you set your coffee maker and go on for Shabbos in the morning?
Yeah, under Rabadi.
Under Malavid.
Yeah, because I'm saying if in that case, so I guess the difference is in that.
But he says
an Erev Shabbos.
You can set your bread, you can make
as long as you put everything in before
Shabbos. Yeah, that's the issue. So Erev Shabbos, but here we're talking about putting it on Shabbos. So then the question is, we can think about whether that's considered you. Is it like a guy doing it? But
it's impossible to put it out.
But then it wouldn't be. Because at that point you're doing. Because that the issue is you're doing a ma'aseh heter when you put the water on. So one, you know, one could argue then you didn't do it. You're not doing a ma'aseh. In other words, you're doing a ma'aseh heter, but then which is leading to a malacha. That gets into that discussion. Yeah.
The hotel, for example, big issues always conference.
I know. I'm steaming this year. I think where you're going with the coffee on Shabbos this year. It's the first Shabbos. Pesach is the. I'm in the hotel fish. So messes up my breakfast. Number one, the coffee's terrible. They don't know about. I have to speak to them about what they could use, French press and all that, and they can do the timer. But then the eggs I got messed up. I can't have fresh omelets. They don't. I don't know. That I can't avoid. But the coffee.
First world problems.
Some real issues here. Yeah.
Is it ever possible that you pre-order things in Shabbos at these restaurants?
Right.
In New York City, or you walk in.
Right.
I mean, forget about the issue. Not forget about the issue. Just say that. Everybody understands.
Yes, Mutia, in New York, it's understood. I assume in New York and Israel, it's understood that people do it.
Right.
Yeah.
So can you, if you...
Vacation Village, they do it. Yeah, go on.
If you check into a hotel and you tell them Friday afternoon, I'd like to have coffee sent to my room Shabbos morning. That's not allowed.
Right, and then you specifically, like, as opposed to, let's say they have coffee downstairs in the lobby, it should be, because they're making it for Goyim, anyone, and you happen to, you know.
But presumably downstairs in their cafeteria, they've got a bigger, and they're just making
it. Exactly, that's what I'm saying,
So could I pre-pay for it on Friday in the cafeteria that they're, to get one of those coffees that's pre-made for everyone?
Didn't you guys try Saperstein that, didn't you?
Yeah.
Wait, he said to me, Machmir, why?
No, so he said, like, first he called, first when I called him, he said, yeah, Mikra, then it's Mutter. And then he called me back a couple hours later that he spoke, I think he said it was Rav David Cohen, but he spoke to Rav David Cohen and said that it's not
not in the spirit of,
yeah,
okay, yeah, that's what I'm saying, but.
Why can you, what?
But Alpi Halach, no, right, I'm agreeing. I agree, now Alpi Halach, but it doesn't mean it's mutter, you should do it. They're two different points. But you know, it depends how much of a tzara gadol it is for your court. If you're going to be, actually, you might as well not go to the conference, you'll be sleeping the whole day.
Yeah. At the conference, I always like to see at these urns, is it connected to the wall or is it standalone? It's almost always just standalone, or they may actually have sometimes those little burners as well.
Yeah.
But most are just standalone.
Yeah. That's something, yeah. Yeah, it's a technique, they're not making it for you, they're making it for the guy, that would be mutter. Yeah, is what did you have a question?
You can like go like pre-order in some, wasn't there an issue of making a Kenyan on Shabbos?
But yes, yeah, so therefore, you're saying that's what you pre-order, it means you acquire it before Shabbos.
Well, what's the Ma'aseh Kenyan?
No, what are you asking?
Well, what's the Ma'aseh Kenyan that you do before Shabbos?
You buy it.
In terms of, you mean?
Money isn't. You can't buy some giving money.
I mean, they don't have to give it to you on Shabbos.
What?
They don't have to give it to you if they want. Like, they, like, for them, like, you know.
Oh,
room service still charging after Shabbos.
Gets into it. That's a different. Cause that's a good kasha. We'll get that when we discuss mechiras chametz. How you sell it to a guy? That's a big issue.
When are we doing mechiras chametz next week?
You'll forget about it. Why would I do it next week?
It's not even Purim yet. I'm thinking a month ahead. I'm sorry. It's Purim.
If they only had ceramic cups, are you allowed to use a ceramic cup? That's only used for coffee.
Ceramic cup?
The glazed,
yeah, so it's not a problem.
Is it the difference between Sephardim and Ashkenazim
for that? For what? For which part?
For glass, you mean?
Yeah, well, mechaber is more mekel and stuff, but the Ramah is, this is a chumrah de Pesach, but if a body holds glazed china, is not a problem.
And that's what it is, the cups that they give you?
Yeah, most of the china, you just have to feel it, you can tell it's glazed.
For health reasons, they do glaze, because it doesn't
Pesach something else, I'm talking about during the year, so if a body has a double cool, I like his svara, because he says, on one hand, so what about tfilas kelim?
Yeah.
So you don't have to be tovo, the glazed china. But then if you're telling me it can't become treif because it's glass, which one is it? So he says, no, it's both. He says, be'etzam, it's a china, so therefore it's pater from tfilas kelim.
Right.
Then treif is a metzias issue. The fact that it's glazed, that means it doesn't get on, so therefore he says, tfilas cuckoo in both directions. You don't need to be tovo. You know, tefillas kelim.
The inner kli is the cheres.
Yeah, that's what it is, and it's just the glass. It's just the protecting. Yeah. So therefore, he says you could. He says so therefore you set the timer. That's what this Rabbi Sarman, I think, does in his own. He sets the timer and he puts it on. Yeah, to cover all the angles. You have the hot plate by itself, but then you have the kadesh. He says between all of them, you'll find enough. Don't worry, Wilk says you can just put it on the hot plate. So number one. But then if you want to do a tin on top of the hot plate, then you get more people on your side. And you get more people on your side. If the hot plate's not on yet, you put it on, and then you know, and then it goes on to the 11th.
And environment Cutler would be okay with the fact that as long as you cover the.
We're talking about a non-adjustable or covering up. You know, non-adjustable is better. You know, adjustable has to be covered up. You know, non-adjustable, there's nothing there. Those always are better. There's nothing. Right, so that's the hot plate. What about a blech? So Abadi Yosef. For all the Svardim out there, and he's Baal Chacham Avadja, and there's no reason not to. He said you could take the cold chicken out and put it directly on the blech. He says, forget about like the hot plate, you could put it right on the blech. Because why? Because he holds the blech as the status of Kedera Gabe Kedera. He says, because who cooks on a blech? I agree with you. I don't know anyone who cooks on a blech. Even no one accepts it. Even Rabbi Abadi doesn't like Abadi Yosef. He's a Sephardi. But Abadi Yosef says, but however, it's important to know, because let's say I went to Jason's house and he follows Abadi Yosef. So that's what Rav Shecht always says all the time. He quotes in the poskim that even as long as there's a sheet in the poskim that says it's mutter, so b'di'evah, then you can eat at someone, and you have to. I use that kool every Shabbos lunch when I'm eating at someone's house. But I'm saying is whether it's your parent, they're always, you know. So as long as there's an accepted kula, so then even if you don't usually rely on it, so then you know it's already a b'di'evah situation, and therefore you can eat the food. So Avadi Yosef says even directly, Rav Soloveitchik has a different kula similar. His kula in Boston. He used to tell people they could take food similar to Rabbi Yosef with one caveat. His is based on a Yerush, not because of Kedei Raga. According to Rav Yosef, it's Mutter, it's Kedei Raga. According to Rav, it's for a totally different reason. It's a Blech, it's not Kedei Raga, but Kedei Raga. It's based on a Yerushalmi that seems to say, if you have, as long as at the beginning of Shabbos, the food is on the, so basically you have to have all your chicken, you put it on the Blech, but that means you have to have all your food on the Blech Friday night when Shabbos starts. And then, the Yerushalmi seems to say, so then you can take it off and put it back on. Because why? Since it was on at the beginning of Shabbos, it's like one continuation. So based on this, so Rav Soloveitchik said, so then when you put the food in the fridge, assuming he said it, and then you take it out. So Rav Shachter doesn't like it. He doesn't think that's the pashtus of Yerushalmi, because the Yerushalmi was talking about, like, you take it off for 5 minutes, 20, a half an hour, and you put it back. They say you take it off, you put it in your fridge for 12 hours and put it back on. He finds it more difficult. But that's what, that was known as the Rav's Heter from Boston. I think it's a Ram as Yerushalmi. But that, according to him, you need the food on the Blech in the beginning of Shabbos. Avadu Yosef, you don't. And
why
the other, what? What?
Why is it not Hachzar?
In which case? No, it's not Hachzar because it's, since it was on the beginning of Shabbos, so it's like one continuation.
It was it's only an issue if he was off.
He says all those conditions of Daita is only if it wasn't on when you began Shabbos. Yeah, okay, that's the Rav's Chiddush. And one other thing is the other way is what other way of cooking food is the good old Amir Lenachri. Let's say you're stuck. So therefore, I think it's the Marik, one of the poskim, that it's a shvus to shvus to makam mitzvah. We're dealing with food that's already out, it's cooked, so it's only Durabana, and it's, you know, mixed kamavashel. It's Amir Lenachri, so it's a double shvus, but makam mitzvah, you gotta eat, so therefore, and it's not bishalakim because you're already, the food's already cooked, and therefore you get a guide to warm up the food.
Leftover soup on Shabbos for my kids. They really like the soup. It's for Shabbos afternoon.
That always
seems bizarre.
Yeah, but leftover soup that's cold or hot?
Cold.
Yes, that's more problematic than, yeah. Taking it, right, it's only more, it has to be solid, it has to be mavasho called tzorko, and it has to be a solid. So that's a problem, you know, with soup.
So she can take a challah from the freezer.
Yeah, because that's...
Warming oven?
Yeah, it's a warming oven, so that's a separate discussion. So Rav Shechter doesn't like the warming oven, but others, I think Rabbi Willig does. Willig's okay with it, and he says, what you do is you put like a foil, like to make it. Yes, Rav Willig has some sheet about putting a foil through the whole thing, but either way, most people is you put the foil in, so therefore it's like a black, and you put it in there. In turn, you know, because to me, you know, a warming tree is not mixed with a mavasho, and there's no, obviously, it's non-adjustable, you cover up the knobs. It should be, you know, in terms of that. And, so those are some of the issues of shehiya, hagzara, suvi, cholent, and all the other issues.